This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'm going to run like hell. One of the coolest grooves in all of rock.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Welcome back, everybody. Fourth and final hour, Wednesday edition of the Dana and Parks program. Story here from NBC News, and then we'll get back into the Bump and Rob story out of Belton that Dana was just sharing with us a minute ago. Before sunset on Thursday, there will be no more there for major professional sports in Oakland. The Oakland A's will cease to be the Oakland Athletics after the matinee game against the Texas Rangers tomorrow afternoon at 12:37 p.m. The matchup will be the club's final home game at Oakland Coliseum. The team, which has been called Oakland home since 1968 after leaving Kansas City, announced last year that it plans to build a stadium in Las Vegas by spring of 2028. In the meantime, the franchise will move to a minor league park in West Sacramento for at least three seasons.
Have you seen the video of people ripping out the seats?
All day. Scott, look it up. People are removing the seats. It's hilarious. Like, men
at the Coliseum?
Oh, yeah. They're just on their way out taking everything that is bolted down.
Well, they're going to demolish the stadium, I presume.
I don't know. A lot of those just sit and turn into desolate wastelands.
Unless it has number 15 on it and it says end up, then you buy it and you mount it and you put it in your living room.
Well, yeah, but that was just a redo of all the seats.
No, the end up, it said MVP underneath it.
But it says end up.
No, it says MVP. It says MVP.
Hashtag 15.
Guess who I got a call from today? I think I can play it, as a matter of fact.
Not your realtor.
Nice.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Wow.
You know what?
And stay down.
Never mind. I'm not going to share my update. I'm not going to share my life update with you. You do not deserve to hear it.
Well, the house didn't sell.
Come on.
So
that was
been
good.
Confirmed.
That was good.
That's enough to throw the towel in.
Remember in the 5 o'clock hour yesterday, we were perusing my long list of bills, and one of them was electric, and one of them was wastewater, and one of them was something, and they were all like $400. And the house, as you all know, is vacant.
Still for sale.
Right. So, lo and behold.
She'll make you a deal.
We do have people out there who listen to this program. I'm not going to give the name. Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. I'm not going to.
Don't give her number out either.
No, it's a main number. This isn't like it's a very common main number. But lo and behold, I get a voicemail today from someone that I do not know. And let me just play it a little bit. It's kind of funny. Hang on. I'm not going to give her name. This is so-and-so. Okay, wait, here we go.
Johnson County Wastewater. I'm the customer service manager. You can probably guess why I'm calling. My mailbox is flooded with your radio clip.
So the listeners
apparently
are spamming
someone
her?
With Johnson County Water Department listens to our show, and they were like, something's going on in Dana's house. So here's what I learned today, Dan. I called the wastewater department first. Here's something you should all know, and this is true. I did not know this as a homeowner of 22 years. Your wastewater is billed based on your usage the year prior. I don't know why. I don't know how that works. I had three people tell me that today. They said, just so you know, your usage is billed on 1 year ago.
What?
Now, that makes no sense right now when my house is vacant to bill me what I used a year ago, but that's how it works. Follow
okay,
me.
Okay, but then so I have something
The wastewater people, they were very nice, said to me, you need to call Water 1 first because your water usage it's happening. Like something is going on in your house.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not your sprinkler? I said, no, we turned our sprinkler off. So I call Water One today, and the guy says, can I get an email? And I give him my email that shall not be spoken. And he goes, wait a minute. Are you Dana? Like Dana? I go, oh, God. Oh, yeah, that's me. And he goes, let me take a look. He's doing this. He goes, huh, yeah, someone's using a lot of water, all right. Yep. He goes, and you know that, like, the wastewater, that's billed from a year ago. And I go, yep, they told me the same thing. I don't understand that. But they are both in tandem looking into it, as they would for you.
Have you been filling your pool?
No, I don't have a pool, Dan.
Oh.
Nor do I have a leak, nor do I have a leaking toilet.
Oh, I think you might have a
leak. It appears the sprinkler system at some point has been going. They were able...
It sounds like you have a leak.
Through Water One, he did the clicky, 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 and he goes, yeah, it's your sprinkler. Huh. But without any other use... toilet, showers, multiple people using showers. You know, Scott, you shower 3 times a day at your house. Mm-hmm. I said, it still makes no sense to me that even if the sprinklers were coming on twice a week, why would that bill be so high? So that's the update. They are looking into it, and I'm supposed to call them back.
Are your sprinklers on an automated timer?
It used to be until I turned it off, unless somebody turned it back on. I don't know why anyone would have done that.
Well, but even if, I mean, like, I have a sprinkler system at my house.
And I'm certainly not running it 24/7 because I was there today. I was there yesterday. But, it wasn't on.
And I run it probably every other day for, I don't know, 50 minutes. And I have very lush green grass. But
of course you do.
Environmentalist much.
No, I like lush green grass.
Just because you put water in the ground doesn't mean more water is not going to be evaporated and get back into the system. Plus, the seas are rising. So who cares? My bill is not anywhere near what your bill is, and I have a sprinkler system. You've got a leak somewhere underground.
Yeah, there is absolutely a leak in that sprinkler system. Go ahead and walk around. Mm-hmm. Do you know where the sprinkler heads are in your yard?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I would walk your yard and see if there's any part of the yard where you're just like...
squishy spots, yeah.
Are there any hoses attached to the house that snake off to somebody else's house?
No, I was wondering, are gypsies or ne'er-do-wells siphoning water out of my property to fill a gigantic Olympic-sized pool every day?
I think that's an offensive term now.
Who cares? She said midget on the show yesterday.
Referring to myself because I don't have any arms or legs. You know that. Well, I mean, I have them.
Midgets don't have arms and legs?
No, I have them. They're not very substantial.
See, this is why the shovel emoji will really come in handy.
Stop digging.
It's okay to call oneself a midget. You're just not supposed to call a midget a midget. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think that's right. It's okay for a midget to call themselves a midget, but you can't call yourself a midget if you're not really a midget.
I'm going to take this opportunity and circle back and refocus, and you have a leak in your water line somewhere.
So here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Miss, I just buried St. Joseph in my front yard, and the house did not sell.
No, but we had a showing.
Did you hit a line when you...
No.
Oh,
no,
that would be hilarious.
No, because this bill is from last month, and they buried St. Joseph on Saturday.
No, Dan, you could not make up how funny that would be if someone went to dig to bury St. Joseph, hit a line, and, you know.
So what I would do if I were
after
you.
After I canceled my water line protection
is I would, I'm with Dan, I would walk around the yard, all over the yard, back and front and sides, and wait until you hear when you step on it, and that is where your leak is.
Any wet spots?
I don't know, Dan. I don't know.
Yeah. We need to walk the yard. Oh, by the way, they're now saying Hurricane Helene is going to be a Category 4 as it approaches Florida.
It could.
Yeah, I do think we sort of need to, in like all seriousness right now, at least discuss Helene for in a momento, because if you go on Twitter right now, that hashtag, you will get results, because not only are they evacuating, think about all of the vulnerable populations, you guys. Like, this is Florida. I mean, land of sunshine and old people right?
New York, yeah.
And so there are videos right now of massive amounts of these enormous, like, Greyhound buses where they are trying to get our residents there who are wheelchair bound. They're trying to get them all quickly onto buses to get them out of there. The problem is, as you know, when there's a hurricane coming, the highways clog because everyone, even the same direction, trying to get out at the same time, it's clogged. People run out of gas. People, you know, it's Listen to this. This is from Senator Rick Scott. I don't care who that is, Dem or Republican. It doesn't matter.
Republican.
I just left Franklin County, he says. This is 22 minutes ago. I have one message. Listen to law enforcement and evacuate. We are now expecting Helene to be a Category 4 storm at landfall with, quote, deadly storm surge, up to 20 feet of storm surge in the Big Bend. You cannot survive that surge. 20 feet, he writes, will kill you. It is unimaginable. If law enforcement is advising you to get out, get out. The team here in Franklin County is doing everything they can to help keep families safe, but every Floridian needs to do their part. Dan, the problem with that is if you have not already gotten out,
you're running out of time.
You are going to be stranded in that line. And I feel like a couple days ago it wasn't this urgent. If they are just now evacuating the elderly in wheelchairs.
Well, it just turned into a hurricane not too long ago. Actually.
Right after it, right about the time it was just east of Cancun, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just hours ago it became a hurricane. Fortunately, in this area there at Apalachicola, Franklin County, it's very sparsely populated. They have a population in that county of 12,500. This area of Florida, the Big Bend and the Apalachicola National Forest and Alligator Point, yes, all that area is very sparsely populated. And the land is actually built for this. The marshes, the swamps, all that area, the Appalachian Bay.
Nothing out there is built for a 20-foot storm surge. Am I wrong? That's what he's saying. You can't survive a 20-foot storm surge if you're...
The human structures, no. Now, of course, this is not the Tampa-St. Pete area that we're talking about. It's not Naples or Fort Myers.
Yeah, but have you seen the video of all of the wheelchair-bound that they're trying to get onto those buses? I when I saw that video, it was a couple hours ago, I was like, this was something to be doing 2 days ago.
Now, what's going to happen, we've got the city of Tallahassee, which is a few miles inland, and they're going to be under it, and so they've got the nursing homes and the hospitals and those kind of areas, and they have to be cognizant of power outages.
Yeah, but they're not going to get the surge from the ocean.
Not that far inland.
Right.
No.
So they don't, I mean, obviously they have the rain and the wind to worry about, but not 20-foot surges.
Well, but when the whoever that politician was, I don't even care. When he's saying that, I just don't care. I mean, because people will hear that and then go, "Well, it doesn't matter." I believe him when he says 20-foot surge, because he's standing next to the emergency rescue operations center. Yeah. Where is Franklin County again, Dan?
It's right there where the point.
Is it the armpit?
No. It's there at Apalachicola. It's the point that sticks out.
Got it. Yeah. The tall, skinny, rectangular point that sticks west toward whatever that is. Mississippi. Sorry.
Yeah, it's in between Panama City Beach
and
Cedar Key.
It's the armpit. It's above the armpit, Scott.
Both of you are making my brain hurt. And we got to take a break. We're late. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. I'm not sure how we missed this story, but it's come to our attention. A couple days old, but who cares? I hadn't heard it anywhere else. Saints quarterback Derek Carr has been fined $14,000 by the NFL for a touchdown celebration, which he imitated a signature Michael Jackson dance move. The person who spoke with the Associated Press on condition of anonymity, and I don't need the Range Rover ad popping up, Carr was not penalized during a 44-19 win at Dallas, when he celebrated his short rushing touchdown by swiveling his raised right knee before placing one hand in front of his crotch and thrusting his hips forward.
Wait, he did the Michael Jackson? I'm aware.
Carr said after the game that his brothers had encouraged him to celebrate a score that way. Quote, "They see me all the time at weddings or on birthdays. I'm always dancing. One time I hit the Michael Jackson," and they were like, "Bro, you've got to do that one time when you score a touchdown." Carr continued, "I was a dancer in my day."
Don't let
the four kids fool you.
Okay, wait. You have to see it and please describe it. It's so good. And yes.
It's the classic raised right knee.
He is so good at it. He looks like
with the left hand.
Right hand
over his crotch.
Pretty funny, actually. I think it's funny.
Yeah, but I mean, they give people fines and penalties for holding their hands up like they're shooting a gun. The bow and arrow is fine. But hands up like shooting a gun. They don't like to certain images displayed in their celebrations.
Right. Because the NFL wants to give you the impression that it is a family-friendly entertainment venue where you can sit down and watch the game with your kids. And they're right. And then when Derek Carr grabs his junk and then thrusts it forward like that, the NFL is going to frown upon that. They also didn't like it years ago when What's-His-Face pulled a Sharpie out and pretended to autograph a ball after he scored a touchdown.
Come on, that's funny.
I agree it's funny, but then the NFL would tell you, where do we stop? You know, are we going to – who was it who had a cell phone in the audience?
Well, recently –
scored a touchdown and somebody handed them the cell phone and they pretended to make a call.
It's funny. Some of that is funny. Recently, as long as it didn't delay the game.
Recently, Tyreek Hill did the I'm arrested – after he was arrested before the game.
No. His teammate pretended to put his hands behind his back.
And then walked him off the field.
That is funny.
Now, he didn't get a fine for that one.
Okay. Around 40% of adults in the United States are characterized or listed as obese, according to the Centers for Disease Control, marking the first time in more than a decade that the nation's obesity rate did not inch up. In results from the federal government's National Health Survey.
Thank you, Ozempic.
Now, keep in mind, is based off of the Body Mass Index, which as of last week, I now officially qualify as obese.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
The BMI is the most flawed, ridiculous way to measure somebody's weight health that I can possibly imagine. Priest Holmes, running back for the Kansas City Chiefs years ago, if you took his height and his weight at the height of his career, no pun intended, at the height of his career with the Chiefs, would have been listed as either dangerously overweight or obese. And that man didn't have an ounce of body fat. Priest Holmes would have been listed as obese based on the BMI because muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah, 6'5", 252 pounds is the threshold for obesity. Yeah.
In 2000, the survey estimated that roughly 30% of adults in the U.S. were obese, defined as having a BMI of greater than or equal to 30.
Have you guys heard about this new body roundness index?
Oh, no.
No, what is it?
It's supposed to be the new BMI.
It's not your number on the BMI, which I've always been afraid someday they're going to use that to justify you having to pay more in health insurance than somebody who has a much lesser BMI. Yeah, same with Bo Jackson. That's right. Texter says, I believe he was listed as morbidly obese based on his BMI. And that's just false. Of course, it's false. But I've always worried that they'll use BMI to calculate how much you have to pay in insurance premiums.
Oh, man, even on the body roundness index, I'm considered out of the healthy zone.
Now, what is that? Because you're very healthy. You're in good shape.
It takes your age, your height, your weight, your waist size, and it gives you a result. My number is 2.7, which is, now, quote, out of the healthy zone.
I'm done with all of those numbers. I didn't even bring a scale with me to the loft.
Really? You're never curious about what you are?
I feel better, I look better, and none of my pants fit. That's all I need to know.
Well, good. No, Do you know
what's weird when you lose weight? The skirts that I have that I packed up to bring with me to the loft that I thought fit, that don't, which is good, and that's fine.
Right.
I did not realize when I wore those, I was as big as I was. Like, I remember one of my favorite white skirts feeling pretty good when I wore that, right? I thought I looked pretty good. I liked that skirt. It was a little tight on the sides, but whatever. I went to put that on last Tuesday.
It looked like a bag.
No. I put it on. I let go. It fell
good
to the floor.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
It's in my trunk now, and I'm going to donate it. Brand new. I love that white skirt.
I grabbed a pair of khaki shorts. I had to go meet with a client today. I didn't want to show up wearing basketball shorts and a T-shirt. I was in a rush. Now, I'm not where I was like when you first joined the show, but I've lost a lot of weight in the last year and a half. And I just grabbed the first pair of khaki shorts that were on the top of the drawer. And these were shorts I wore when I was at my heaviest. and I'm meeting with a client and I'm trying to awkwardly find a way to hold them up. Like, they must have thought, why does he stand with his hands on his hips
all the
time?
Don't you remember that time my underwear dropped right in Dallas Love Airport and yes. I just kept on walking?
That was a brilliant move.
Was it Atlanta or Dallas?
I think you were in Atlanta.
Those custodians were so concerned about how those got there.
I mean, I'm like, I'm not going back. I'm just going to pretend like that did not just happen.
What went on here? Somebody check the cameras.
Walking like a penguin trying to keep them on. And down they go.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Story here from Channel 5. Kansas City continues its efforts to address ongoing crime near 31st and Prospect. It is a busy intersection with a library, bus stops, a Sunfresh Market, a grocery store that has dealt with a lot of safety concerns from theft to vandalism. Yesterday, the developer of the Linwood Shopping Center sat down one-on-one with Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas to discuss long-term plans and solutions. Developer Donald Maxwell said they now have designated police officers in the area 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, patrolling the area to try and curb the crime that is there. Maxwell said the increased police presence has helped, but said it's a temporary solution and wants the city to make it a permanent one.
And keep in mind, that Sunfresh was built there through, I believe, city subsidies to combat a food desert.
Says Maxwell, quote, "We have to remain diligent in our request. The city has to maintain its diligence and its commitment to providing security, and we'll see. But we are encouraged by what we talked about today. We think we will see some positive results." Okay.
Speaking of security, we just get a group text a little bit ago, and it just says from Jack, "Hey, has anyone used my car or do you know what this is? I haven't been on a K-Tag road for a while." And it says, "Pay your bill, $1.10. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember, what is it from Kansas City to Lawrence? I think it's more than $1.10. It's like $3, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think so.
It says, "This is the final reminder regarding the unpaid toll from your recent trip to the Kansas toll road. To avoid an additional fee of $35, please settle your balance." And sure enough, the logo is Drive Kansas.
Drive Kansas or Drive KS?
No, it's Drive KS. Drive KS. Okay. And so my first reaction, which was wrong, was to text everyone in that chat just now during a break. And I said, quote, "Hey, they've gone to a new system where it's a license plate reader. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how they're billing you, but are you sure you haven't been to Lawrence?" I type in Drive Kansas. Here's the Drive Kansas website, which is the new K-Tag, basically. Yeah. At the very top, there is an all caps ribbon. KTA does not send unsolicited text messages. If you receive a text about unpaid tolls with an image of Drive KS, do not click link or respond.
Oh.
Here's why I'm sharing this with our listeners, Scott. Even Dana, that is in the business of mis and information, who tells people about these scams all the time. When my son sent me the exact screenshot from Drive KS, my first thought was, well, scam. They've gone, no. Oh. My first thought was they have gone to a paperless, non-K-Tag license plate reader system. Are you sure you haven't been in Lawrence? Then I type it in. Sure enough, at the top, it says, if you're getting a text, the other red flag there, quite frankly, is you owe us $1.10. If they had said you owe us $3.35, I would have been like, well, that's Lawrence. That's that's Kansas City to Lawrence. Mm-hmm. It's like $3, and I don't know.
Well, why would they be bothering with $1.10?
Because you then go click on that link. That link takes you to an unsecure location.
You type in your credit card information and they've got it.
I'm telling you, you guys, this looks legit.
Hmm. Somebody in the text line says they got the same text today as
well. It looks legit. I'm putting this on social. This is good for all you people. Drive KS. It looks like Drive KS. It is Drive KS, but it's not.
I've only been on the turnpike once since they went to the automated system, which is basically, you're right, they just read your license plate and send the bill to whatever address is attached to that license plate. They send you a bill. I never once got a text from Drive KS. So great PSA for you to offer. They are not texting you. Don't click on it. Don't go to the link. Don't do anything except delete it. They will, if you've been on the turnpike, they will send you an actual paper bill. Or you can just get a K tag, and you guys know how that works. Portion sizes in American restaurants shot up in the 1980s and never came back down. Neither did our weight. The average serving of spaghetti and meatballs doubled. Bagels ballooned into 6-inch wide monstrosities. Burritos started to weigh more than a Harry Potter hardcover.
Burritos have gotten big. Let's be honest, people.
Nutritionists and policymakers haven't had much success fighting portion creep, which has been linked to health problems associated with obesity. Attempts to legislate soda sizes were shot down. Calorie counts on menus have largely gone ignored and might even be harmful, they say. Even celebrity-dusted public health campaigns from the White House didn't move the needle much. But today, a combo plate of economics, demographics, and climate science may accomplish what years of official hand-wringing could not, loosening the grip that supersized restaurant portions have on the American diet. Americans are not likely to break up with endless pasta bowls and half-pound burgers overnight, but the relationship is shifting. More than 75% of customers say they want smaller portions for less money, according to a new survey that was conducted by the National Restaurant Association. Hmm. I would think that they would just shrink the portion size in an effort to make more money off less food.
Yeah, change the pricing just a little bit.
No, they're not going to change the pricing.
No.
This is being masked by we're trying to make you healthier, when in reality it's, oh, we're going to cut our food costs in half and charge you the same.
Okay.
I, for one, want bigger portions.
Do you really?
No. Do you know what we started doing? Have you ever noticed what happens? Just try this for 2 weeks. You will be shocked. When you split a meal.
I do it all the time.
I'm now a meal splitter. You know why? No boxes, no mess. You don't have to take it home. And you eat less.
Mm-hmm.
And have you noticed when you both get a meal, or you can get like an appetizer and a little meal and then split it. I do it with girlfriends now. I do it with my kids. It has changed the way you view portion sizes. Mm-hmm.
I'm incredibly jealous of you guys because I eat my entire meal and then the rest of my girlfriend's meal, and then I'm still hungry.
Well, that's why you're obese.
You are not, my God. You are not, Scott Parks, we are not going to fat shame anyone.
Obese.
No, you are not.
I do joke about being fat all the time.
You're not fat, Sam.
Acceptable.
You're just pudgy.
Wow.
I'm kidding. God.
I'm going to spend 2 hours at the gym tonight.
I know, because I got between your ears. You know you look good. You're in great shape. I'm giving you grief. Come on.
No, it is a problem, though. I go to certain restaurants, and I have to order two meals.
Really?
Everybody eats different amounts.
I know. Have you thought about eating a bunch more throughout the day, but every 2 hours?
He eats super healthy. Like,
I know you
he
do.
Snacks on peppers and apples.
I never stop eating.
I'm telling you this. This is from Dr. Tegg, shameless plug. If you eat every 2 hours instead of, like, we were growing up, you have to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's right.
And then the problem I would have, Sam, and you know this, I'm a terrible eater. I don't eat all day. And then I come in here and I eat, you know, nuts. And I'm like, I'm hungry. And then I would eat a lot at night. And if you just even have a shake and then some nuts and then some strawberry, like every 2 hours, it's way better for your metabolism.
So I eat a massive breakfast, and then I sit in this studio, and I eat the entire show. I'm actually about to dive into my PB&J.
Okay.
You didn't have that for lunch? Well, no, I don't know where you buy peanut butter, but that is the stankiest peanut butter I have ever smelled in my life.
I had a Philly cheesesteak for lunch.
Good grief, man. And then are you going to have dinner when you get home tonight?
You better believe it.
Oh, my God.
Three bowls of it.
Oh, my word. A 10-year-old girl got lost in dense Louisiana woods after sleepwalking out of her home.
Okay.
Before being saved thanks to a helpful drone operator who spotted her using thermal images.
Yep. Drones are the best thing for finding lost people right now. I don't know that I buy the sleepwalking, but go ahead.
Peyton Saint Tignan went missing from her home near Shreveport around 10 p.m. on September 14th, so 11 days ago. According to the local sheriff, the youngster reportedly was sleepwalking when she wandered away from her home. Parker, that's the sheriff, said that when his office was notified, quote, family and neighbors had already been looking for her for about an hour. A trail camera used by hunters deep in the wilderness snapped a picture of the 10-year-old and was all the search and rescue party had to track her down. However, drone operator Josh Klober caught word of the massive search for Peyton and wanted to help. He traveled 40 miles from his home in Arkansas. Arrived on September 15th with a drone with thermal image capabilities. Parker said the sheriff's department helped Klober set up his gear.
Okay.
And a large screen flat screen TV.
No, go back. This story is not about the drone or about the missing child. I'm so glad they found her. How old is she?
10.
Let's talk about sleepwalking. We've never done that on this program. Like, in the movies, they would wake up in the 1970s and their arms would be out in the cartoons.
Right.
Like, remember Tom and Jerry?
Ooh, yes.
And they're sleepwalking, and then they walk right off a cliff in the cartoons. Does sleepwalking, do you really do that? So unless you're hopped up on Ambien, you got some weird reaction.
I did at least once when I was a kid. Well, we were living in Alaska, and my mom and dad had put me to bed, and my mom was ironing my dad's uniform for the next day.
Okay.
And she claims, I of course don't remember it, claims that I came walking down the stairs, opened up a closet off from our living room, and walked into the closet.
Okay.
My longtime roommate did it all the time.
What did it look like?
Like he was awake. Mm-hmm. And I would even talk to him. And then when he wouldn't respond, that was a pretty good telltale sign that he was sleepwalking. And sometimes he would respond, but it would be like,
gibberish.
And then he'd walk past me and go to bed. And you're not supposed to wake him up. I woke him up a couple times.
Why aren't you supposed to wake them up?
They freak out. It's like a shock to it's a sensory overload thing. Yeah, he was known to leave the freezer open, turn on the stove.
Oh, my God. I would not be a roommate with someone that turned on the stove. I'm sorry.
No.
You get up and turn it off.
No.
I'm going to look how many Americans really. I think. Okay. And if you're drunk, that's not sleepwalking.
No.
If you're on Ambien and you wake up and you take a bite out of an onion because you're having some weird reaction to Ambien, that to me, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, just you would just get up in the middle of the night and just roam around.
You don't believe it?
I don't know.
Put random things in the oven.
Actually sleepwalk.
Now the turning on the stove. I'm breaking that lease.
It's 3% of U.S. adults. That does equate to 8.4 million people sleepwalk each year. It's also known as somnambulism.
Yeah, we knew.
It is more common in children than adults. But this says that percentage is at least once in your lifetime. Most people grow out of it by the time they become adults.
Now, I can sit up and have an entire conversation with no recollection of it. Does that count?
Yeah, but that's on a Friday night after you've been out.
No, I'm talking like...
Oh, my God, listen to this. A new study found that a new study found that adult sleepwalking is a potentially serious condition that may induce violent behaviors and affect health-related quality of life. That's when people freak out. We found a higher frequency of daytime sleepiness, fatigue, insomnia, depressive, and anxiety symptoms that altered quality of life, but 22% of sleepwalkers presented with nightly episodes. 43% in the study presented with weekly episodes. Additionally, a positive history of violent sleep-related behaviors was found in almost 16%. At least 17% had one episode involving injuries to the sleepwalker or bed partner that required medical care.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie. My name's Scott Parks here on KMBZ. What statistic did you find there, Sam?
In the history of criminal law, dating back all the way to 1846 in the United States, sleepwalking has been used as a murder defense 7 times successfully.
Really?
The first one, of course, 1846, and the most recent in 2001.
I'll be darned.
A married woman in her 40s ended up killing her husband with a flower pot, claimed that she was asleep the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Oh, pardon me. She was later convicted in 2004 of first-degree murder.
Okay. Somebody says, my roommate, Freon, not his real name.
Freon.
Thanks. Couldn't figure that out. Straight up sleepwalked. I would yell at him to wake him up. Oh, that's from Wink.
They said Freon.
Yeah, he said, my former roommate, Freon, not his real name. Thank you, Wink. Straight up sleepwalked. I would yell at him to wake him up. Okay. My friend and I traveled together and shared a hotel room. In the middle of the night, he tried to crawl into my bed, calling me his wife's name.
No. That's called assault. That's not sleepwalking. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you not my wife?
I would sleepwalk outside when I was a kid, right? 6244. My parents put bells on the doors. I would go out and get on the swing.
Oh, that's not creepy.
Yes, you're right, 9433. A stove turning on sleepwalker is Scott's worst nightmare. You're damn right. By the
Are
way,
you sure you turned the stove off? Yes.
Today is National One-Hit Wonder Day. It is also National Daughter Day.
Aww.
So if you've been on Facebook today, you've seen a lot of pictures of everybody's daughters. Very nice.
I don't think YNT is a one-hit wonder.
YNT is a one-hit wonder in the U.S.
Really?
Yes. Mark Hamill, 73 today.
Oh.
Heather Locklear is 63. And Scottie Pippen is 59. I am old. Catherine Zeta-Jones is 55. On behalf of our bonus hours coming up next, don't forget to check out our podcast at KMBZ.com. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.